Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Chapter 6. It is an interesting time of year. So many people are thinking of family, of lost loved ones, of those that have made sacrifices. We think of today in the United Kingdom and its affiliated countries as Remembrance Sunday. And unfortunately, I have lost my poppy today, so I don't have that on. But it is Remembrance Sunday. It is a time set apart to remember those that have given their lives or even parts of their body, but served their country, served their country to the best of their ability, and made sacrifices, and for so many, the ultimate sacrifice of their lives. And it is good to do that. It is good to remember those things. But as a Christian, we ought to be doing, I think, more than that. I think we ought to be doing a better job of remembering, not just remembering those that have sacrificed for the country that we live in, but those that have sacrificed for the Lord. Those that have sacrificed for our God. Because you see, when we did our scripture reading in Hebrews 11, we went through and named so many people that had made sacrifices, that had laid down everything they had for the Lord. And they did it because they recognized that their country was not one that they were walking upon. And it was not one that they were going to come into the possession of in their lives, whether it be the land that they were dwelling on. Even when Israel had the nation, they still didn't have the possession that God had spoken of, because it was a spiritual possession. And it is left to, according to Hebrews 11, it is left to people like us. You see, in verse 39 it says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You see, the promises of Jesus Christ, and He is the seed. He is the promised seed all the way back to Abraham, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And He's the one that is to come, and it is, we have the access to God through Him. And yet, what does the writer of Hebrews tell us in the very next verse? And I think there are times where there are very unfortunate breaks in the scriptures. Those are not inspired. These chapter breaks and verse breaks. This is not the way the scriptures was written. And here in verse 1 of chapter 12, I don't think the author was stopping his thought and starting a new one. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Well, what does that mean? He's talking about the fact that all of those that have gone on before, all of those in chapter 11, all of those in the honor roll of faith, all of those that had sacrificed so much for the Lord are witnesses to what we are experiencing. And as we look at their lives, it ought to spur us on to lay aside the sins that so easily beset us, to lay aside those things that distract us, to run the race that is set before us with patience, because they ran the race that was set before them. Because they conquered in faith, not seeing the promise, not knowing that Jesus Christ had died. But we know it. We've heard it. The promise is to us and to all after us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us because of what they did. Because they are a cloud of witnesses to what has taken place. And how do we do that? We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author, He's the beginner of it and He's the finisher of it. And it was for the joy that was set before Him. What was the joy that was set before Him? It was Christians. It was the sinners He was going to save. For that He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He thought nothing of it. He went to it willingly and sacrificed Himself, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the cloud of witnesses. That's the things we ought to remember. But we get so distracted, don't we? We get distracted by this world. We get distracted by the difficulties, by illness. We get distracted by a pain. We get distracted by our jobs. We get distracted by our families. And we lose sight of the fact that he wants us to live by faith. You see, the Jews went through the very same thing. The book of Jeremiah is set during the end of the kingdom, if you will, for the Jews. Because this was the last time that they had a king on the throne of David physically. Now, they had people that could fill that role after that time. But they didn't have somebody sitting on the throne after Jeremiah is done in his prophecy. And they had lost their way. They had forgotten their true love. They had forgotten the Lord. And they'd gone about seeking other things. God says through Jeremiah in chapter 6, verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet." But they said, "We will not hearken." Notice, this is Jehovah speaking. This is Jehovah calling out to the Israelites. And it's something that we ought to pay attention to. Because he says the same things to us. Because we think of the Old Testament, very often we think of the Old Testament, well, that's old, and now we have the new. But I want you to think about something for a moment. How familiar are these words in this passage to us from our Lord Jesus Christ? He says, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way?" What way is he talking about? Is he talking about the law? Or is he talking about the Messiah? Because the Messiah comes and Jesus comes and he says, what? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This is Jehovah speaking to the Jews. There's a way. There's only one way. "Stand ye in the way, stand in the crossroads, look about you. See, ask for the old paths." Why are you asking for the old paths? Because that's exactly where he's revealed. Look in the scriptures. From Adam on, the Messiah is revealed there to us throughout. And it's telling us he's coming. He's coming. Trust him. Even before he comes, trust him. Because when you do, when you walk therein, what do you find? According to Jeremiah, you find rest for your souls. That's awful familiar again, isn't it? That's exactly what Jesus says. "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. You will find rest for your souls." See, Jeremiah is telling the Jews to take account of things. The end is coming for the kingdom of the Jews. To look about. Find out where you ought to be. And if you can't find out, ask someone for the good way. Ask those that you recognize are on the way and say, "How did you get there? I want to be there." Take account of things. Look at the world around you. That's exactly what Hebrews 11 is telling us. Hebrews 12 is telling us. There's a cloud of witnesses that have gone on before. We have even more than they had in Hebrews. Because we've had another 1900 years of Christians going on before us. Of things that we can read about. Of lives that were lived in faith. Of things that were overcome. And we can look back and we can remember them. And we can say, we can live that way. We can walk in that way. Because we're not doing it in our own strength. We're doing it in the strength of the Son of God. Have you taken stock? Are you self-aware? Jeremiah 17 tells us, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" He says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." The Lord knows it. The Lord knows, Isaiah, better than you do what's in your heart. He knows the wickedness that we all possess. He tries us. He tests us. And he knows the results. He knows that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He knows that the wages of that sin is death. So we have to ask for the good way, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God That's a wonderful word, that but. For the wages of sin is death, and God could have left it right there. But he doesn't. He says, but. Although, wait a second, it's not over yet. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So ask for the good way and walk therein. Who are you going to ask? You're going to go down to the pub and ask someone there? You're going to ask your family of origin where you can look and say, okay, I know them better than anybody else I've ever known. Are they walking in the good way? It's not that hard to tell. It's not that hard to figure out. Isaiah 35 says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. How do we know that Jesus is the way? Well, Isaiah tells us here that is Jesus is the way. Because he says there's a way there. It's called the way of holiness. How do we know it's the way? Because the deaf shall hear. The blind will see. The dumb shall speak. The lame will leap as an hart. What is it that Jesus was doing when he was healing people? Besides being nice to them, he was proclaiming who he was. He was proclaiming what he was about. That he was the way. It is a beautiful thing to think about. It is a beautiful thing to think about. And even here he says, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. What's he talking about? It's the idea that there's no danger for a Christian to lose what God has given them. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be peachy your whole life. That it's going to be easy with no trials and tribulations, no tests. But what it means is that it's not going away. It's eternal life. Because you're in the hand of God. And no man, no ravenous beast, no lion can take you out of the way. There's nothing that can take you out of the way once you're in the way. Jesus Christ. He says to us in Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. What way is he talking about? He's talking about himself. He is the narrow way. He is the straight gate. There is no other way. Well, that word, those words in Jeremiah sound awful familiar. When you read Matthew 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the way. That's what Jeremiah is telling us. He says, consider, even in Jeremiah's day, it was the old paths. It was already old then. It's even older now. And yet it's still the same way. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And he says, consider it. Consider those old paths. Remember those things. And the Hebrews just points us in that same direction. Remember all that have gone before. Remember what they've done. Think upon it. Don't forget it. Don't live your life as if it didn't happen, if it didn't exist. But what is man's normal response? He says, we will not walk therein. We're not going to follow the way. We're not going to go after the way. That's one of the reasons I'm in this country. Because that's man's response. That's one of the reasons we sit here with a small number. Because that's man's response. We will not walk therein. We will not follow after Jesus Christ. I'm not saying I'm anything. I'm not. But the Word of God is something. And we ought to be listening and paying attention to it. But what are men doing today? They're remembering the dead, which is good. The sacrifices that were made. But they're only going back to the wars of the past 100 years. And maybe if they went even back a little further than that. But they don't go far enough back. They don't go back to the way. They don't go back to the old paths. They don't go back to the promise that was made. That there is going to become a seed. And in that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And they say, we will not walk therein. There can be all kinds of excuses why someone is not interested in God. But it is their will. They will not. You have friends who are not interested, so you will not. You have dead family that did not, so you will not. My father, when he was dying, and I had shared the gospel with him so many times, and there he is on his deathbed, and he knows he's dying. I had to tell him that he's dying in a week. There was no way around it. And he's asking me questions, and I'm telling him the same thing over and over again. And yet, what is he doing? Well, my dead mother said she was going to heaven because she was a good Catholic, and I'm trusting that she's going to take me there too. That was nonsense. And he knew it was nonsense. That's why he was so afraid. And yet he would not walk therein. He would not follow after. There are those that would say there are excuses. Well, look at Christianity. Look how corrupt it is. You can look at the scandals in so-called churches by priests and other men. You can find all kinds of reasons within Christianity not to follow Christ. My father-in-law still looks back on a man that claimed to be a Christian and was a pastor of a church from the 1960s. And he cheated him in a business deal. And now he will not. And he says it's because of him. Well, if that's a Christian, I don't want anything of it. I know I'm going to hell, and that's okay with me. And those are his words. He will not. Because of what others have done. No, it's not because of what others have done. It's because of him. Because he will not walk therein. I asked for something, and God didn't give it to me. There, I won't do it because of that. Or he took something away that I had and I wanted. Now, it all comes back down to the same thing. You will not walk therein. But God is so merciful. He gives another gift. He gave trumpeters. He gave people to declare. Not only did he say it, he gives other people to say it. Over and over again. The Spirit of God convicting the world of sin. Preachers of the gospel blowing the trumpet, letting others know. Walk in the way of Christ. Turn away from these dead symbols. Turn away from these dead ceremonies. It's not the way to Christ. It is Christ and Christ alone. That is the only way to God. He is the way. And we ought to be remembering that and proclaiming that. Christ and Christ alone. You know, Amos gives a judgment on Israel. And to my way of thinking, it is the worst possible thing. Worst possible judgment that a nation can be under. And sometimes when I am working in the charity work that I'm doing and dealing with other men and visiting churches that are content not to have ministers of the gospel, I wonder how much of this judgment is not placed upon this nation and is going towards the United States as well. In Amos 8 it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." That's the worst possible famine. To not hear God's word being proclaimed in the land. And yet, what do you find when you go places? There are so many chapels whose doors are shut. And they're now apartments. They're now flats. They're now businesses. They're now union houses. Now, that doesn't mean that the gospel was going forth from those buildings necessarily. But you have to think that there were so many more proclaiming the gospel than do now. What has happened? We have forgotten the way. We thought it was about the way, but people got distracted. They started thinking, oh, I've got to build my church. Oh, I've got to build this building. Oh, you've got to follow these sets of rules. It's about the way. It's about Christ. It's about Him and Him alone. And what are we doing? We're getting distracted. Getting distracted from those that have gone on before. We're not remembering the Christians that have given their lives so that we could worship freely. So that we could worship the Lord without a state church telling us what we can and cannot do. I'm currently reading a book on John Bunyan, and to think about all the years he spent in jail, in prison, because all he wanted to do was preach the gospel. And the state church said no. And many others like him. There is no guarantee those days don't come back. We have to remember. We have to remember those that have gone on before and live our lives accordingly. And remember that they were doing something. They were pointing the way to Jesus Christ. They were saying, follow after me as I follow after Christ. The same thing that Paul said. If you can't see Christ yet, then follow those that are following Christ. Because as you do, you'll see Christ in them. And yet the world still says, we will not hearken. Even after all the trumpeters, even after all the proclaimers, we will not hearken. Have you taken stock of your life? Have you examined what's going on? Have you thought about those that have gone on before? Not those that have fought in the service of the nation. And I have the utmost respect for them. And I thank God for them. And I can will continue to thank God for them, and I will continue to pray for them. But I know that they're not perfect. And I know those that are sending them into harm's way aren't perfect. But I know someone who is. I know the way. I know the way of holiness. I know the one who is the way. And I know the stories of so many that have gone and walked in that way. Whether they be in the scriptures or even after the scriptures. Even those that have lived in the past 1900 years after this canon of scripture was closed. Who led lives of a tremendous faith. Following the way of Jesus Christ. Do we consider that? Have you taken stock of your path? Have you taken stock of where you are? Are you walking in the old paths? Do you want to walk in the old paths? Do you want to follow after Jesus Christ? Remember that the trumpet in Jeremiah is not a call to judgment, but a call of deliverance. It is a call to come to Christ. It is a call to come unto Him. He's not going to cast anyone out who does come to Him. Whosoever will may come. Trust Christ today. Don't turn away. Don't think you can accomplish it yourself. Because you can't. If you look back in history in any way, shape, or form, you can see those that didn't. And you can see those that did. That lived lives of faith and overcame. Not because they were strong, but because the God they served was strong. That's what we ought to be remembering. That's who we ought to be remembering. And we ought to give honor to those who deserve it. But the ultimate honor goes to Christ. The ultimate honor goes to the Lord who is the way. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's who it's about. It's about following after Him. It's about remembering those that have gone on before, that help us see the path clearer. It's about looking unto Christ. We point you to Him. Amen.